Chapter 40. Helatine, Beneath Sollust. Angera awoke to pain and an alarming lack of feeling in most of her body. The lids of her eyes were heavy and difficult to lift, so what she saw when she first tried to open them came in slivers. A dark chamber, somewhere underground and lit by flaming torches. The brooding presence of my monstrous captor, hulking and vile as it regards me from the back of the room. Warriors, clad in armor, the same traitors we met at Sollust. A wretched figure, robes clinging to her body, knelt and praying before me. She is hunched, shivering, but does not relent in her murmuring benedictions. Looking up at me, our eyes meet, and I recognize the kinship in them. It is Ravina. It is my sister, and she is praying for me.
Reunited with your sister,
uttered the monster, its voice resonant.
How long has it been?
Angera glanced at it, but only glanced. To do anything more would be to invite damnation. She tried to focus on Ravina, on her sister. Despite her conditioned revulsion for the witch and the heretic, Angera had tears in her eyes when she answered.
Yes, she said, her tone low and faint. It has been years since I last saw my sister.
I forgive you, said Ravina.
Her voice had recovered, losing the reedy croak from when she had been staked down in the desert. Angera had no words. She warred between familial compassion and what was demanded of her by the sacred creed of the ecclesiarchy. Suffer not the witch and the heretic to live. It was tattooed across the back of Angera's partially shaved scalp, just above the nape of her neck, scribed in high Gothic.
I forgive you, Melicia.
No one had called Angera that name since before the Adepta Sororitas.
And I am so sorry, said Ravina,
bowing her head. Incredulous for a moment, Angera found her voice stronger.
For what?
Belatedly, the canoness realized she was pinned. Her limbs, waist and neck were shackled to some kind of wrought iron edifice. It stank of old blood and the foulness of decay, but was impossible for her to see whilst she was bound to it. Rage supplanted pain as Angera fell back on her training. All those hours of excoriation and penitence had honed her into something more and, at the same time, less than human.
Release me,
she snarled at the monster, spitting her zeal from cracked lips.
I, too, have siblings I wish to be reunited with,
it answered, stepping into the light and letting the lambent glow from the torches wash over it. It wore a thick sheath of war plate, but rather than fit perfectly over its body like the armor of a space marine should, it was stretched and malformed like wax exposed to heat. Between the glossy black plates, pale ivory trimmed with ocean green peeked through like an aperture into another world. Its face was false, the simulacra of one of the Emperor's angels rendered into artistic stillness.
Unlike you,
said the monster, coming in close so Angera could smell the corpse stench of its breath and feel her skin prickle at the proximity of its unnatural aura.
I won't cast them out. They are lost. Your sister,
it gestured to Ravina, whom Angera glanced at,
is going to help me find them.
Its eyes briefly changed from two pure black voluminous orbs to having corneas, retinas, and irises.
Perhaps it was her pain-fueled imagination, but Angera swore there was something vaguely lupine about them.
I was formerly a wolf, the monster confessed, tearing open Angera's thoughts as easily as it would her flesh. One of Luna, it said resignedly, but no more.
Sister, Angera was weeping, her wrath and despair colliding ambivalently. What have you done?
What I had to do, Ravina replied calmly, though her eyes betrayed the depth of anguish she felt for her sister. What I was born to be. If you didn't want me to see you, you should have taken my sight.
Would that I could, dear sister.
The monster clamped a meaty gauntlet around Angera's chin, forcing back her attention.
Strange, isn't it, that only when we are faced with losing something or someone do we appreciate its true value?
There was scorn in its voice now, and Angera suspected some part of it despised her for what she had done to Ravina.
She has a gift, your sister,
the monster went on, though it did not loosen its grip, which had begun to wear at Angera's jawbone.
I shall see it used to bring about a reunion between my brothers and I. They are here, somewhere, and blessed Ravina and her witch sight are going to peer beyond the veil for me, so I can know exactly where, so I can determine where in the skein of the flesh world I need to make my cut.
Ravina was a seer, an augur of sorts. Her latent gift had been discovered in her infancy, manifesting as an uncanny ability to know things before they had happened. The first time had been the death of their mother. A virulent illness had destroyed her from within, eating the poor woman alive whilst her children could only watch. Ravina wept, once on her own before her mother had passed, and again with her sisters, both for the parent she had lost and the orphan life as part of the sisterhood they were about to be forced into. She had seen everything. Though she was only a child, Ravina saw the drill abbot arriving at their domicile before he had arrived. Through her sorrow, she was afforded a glimpse of him. Later, when the three sisters had been inducted to the Order of the Ebon Chalice as neophytes, Ravina had lost the penitent cup she used for prayer and ablution. Without it, she would have been severely beaten and chastised by her superior. Her tears revealed the location of the cup, sparing her the lash, but eventually opening her up to more serious censure. It was Angera who had discovered her taint, an Angera who brought her to the attention of the then canoness. Once Angera had been cleared of any suspicion, her genetics deemed pure, it all but assured her rise to prominence in the order, but condemned her sister at the same time. Lavinius rose with her, whilst Ravina languished in a cell, her existence known only to a few, a dirty secret the order kept at its heart. It was a circle that shrank to two when the old canoness died and Angera replaced her. Decades old, the memories resurfaced like fresh wounds. It might have been the presence of the monstrous warrior, or just pent-up and repressed emotion. The revulsion, the disgrace of having a mutant for a sister, and the purifying vindication she felt when she had exposed her to the order. It was empowering.
Witchling!
Angera cursed Ravina, tears streaming from her eyes now.
Lavinius and I should have strangled you as a child.
But Ravina was no longer there. She had been ushered away by the monster's warriors.
Angara turned to it instead, hawking a gob of phlegm onto its pristine, false face.
Abomination! I wasn't always, said Faustus, and tightened his grip until the sister's jaw broke. His name was no longer Heclion Faustus. It was Gralastix, Demon Lord of the Eye.
Lufurion watched the brutalization of the woman with detached interest. He kept to the shadows, out of Gralastix's immediate sight, and gathered with his trusted warriors, ostensibly strategizing. These three had been hard to find. Amongst the children of Torment and the remnants of his own Incarnadine host, Lufurion had discovered entire nests of betrayers. But these three he had fought with, bled with, pledged oaths with. It wasn't brotherhood, he had abandoned that long ago, but it was something close.
Reports are coming in, uttered Cleric, keeping his voice low. Voshkar has led the army to victory against the Imperials. I heard he was injured in the act, whispered Zhuadek. No need to sound so conspiratorial, you idiot, snapped Cleric, looking askance at the Black Legion warriors standing to attention around the chamber and waiting on their master. It has been agreed, said Lufurion. We deliver the demon's kin, and he will give us the witch. From there we part ways.
Priest angled his head up slightly.
He knows, priest, Lufurion told the sorcerer. Can we trust him, though? Of course not, Lufurion told him. But his mind is no longer entirely his own. He's a slave to that thing he has become. But he's also driven by sentiment and an outdated sense of fraternal honor. A true son of Chthonia, then, laughed Zhuadek. So he claims, yes, Lufurion replied. Are we certain we still need the witch? Asked Cleric. In the wake of Voshkar's triumph, we could take our ships and be gone.
Lufurion looked to the sorcerer again.
Priest says we do.
All eyes went to him for an explanation.
Our brothers we sent to Stundrang are all dead.
Zhuadek leaned in, a sour look on his face, as he regarded the sorcerer.
You sure?
Priest gave him a disparaging glance.
I spoke unto a servant of the Eye, he said, as if it were a rudimentary thing he was describing, and not a rite of incredible difficulty and peril. Claimed by the Warp, then? Asked Cleric. I had wondered what happened to Rios and the others.
Priest shook his head.
They arrived only several years ago. Temporal displacement, said Cleric. The tides really didn't favor them, did they? Something else killed them, Priest continued. Even now, their souls are in torment. And I have no desire to join them, said Lufurion, nodding to Gralastix, as the demon allowed his prisoner to sag in her chains. She would not die yet. He still had use for her. The gathering parted swiftly. Priest would be needed to encourage the witch's auguring. His mortal worm would assist the one that still lived. As the sorcerer was summoned by one of the Black Legion warriors, Cleric hung back to whisper in Lufurion's ear. We both went on bended knee before the War Master. We pledged oaths in front of Devram Korda. If they discover our plan to betray them, the demon will be the least of our worries.
Lufurion smiled, the patchwork of his stitched face straining to perform the gesture.
We always knew it would come to this. Either Rios and the others found the archive on the Hive World, or we secured the witch. Rios is dead, so that leaves us. I've seen her work. She'll give us what we seek.
Cleric's eyes narrowed.
Is it real? 10,000 years ago it was. But can it do what priest claims?
Lufurion gave the facial equivalent of a shrug.
Something that old, with that kind of provenance, we'll have to acquire it to find out. They'll hunt us, the drakes, what's left of the Iron Tenth, Abaddon.
Lufurion smiled thinly. It was a viper's smile, deadly.
You sound scared, cleric. Have I misplaced my faith in you?
Cleric didn't respond to the threat. He knew Lufurion was just testing him.
I merely point out the list of our enemies, should we pull this off. If we do, cleric, said Lufurion, with the storm we'll unleash, none of them will matter any more. They'll all be too busy drowning in their own blood.